Well, thanks everyone for coming tonight and for the good singing there. I was just looking on my sheet and it said that song was written, The Old Rugged Cross was written in 1913. So I guess the kids today would call that old school, but still very relevant for today and a beautiful song. So I'll start us out here in a word of prayer. God, thank you that we can be here tonight in this place. We have the freedom in this country to worship you, to come before you with freedom in Christ because of his death for us on the cross. Remember that tonight, God. Just set our hearts on that. Set our hearts just this weekend as we remember you and ultimately on Sunday, your resurrection from the dead. Thank you for all that you do for us, God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So nearly 20 years ago, my brother and I were inspired to do something. No, we weren't inspired to join the Foreign Legion or train for the Boston Marathon. We were inspired to purchase an arcade video game machine. You know, the ones you stand up and it has the joystick and the buttons and things like that. We knew nothing about how much they cost, but we knew we wanted one for our basement room. So we scraped together our life savings of about $250. We got out the Yellow Pages, which is the pre-internet version of Google, and found a place in St. Paul that sold such games. Upon entering the establishment, we were wide-eyed to see the wide variety of not only video games, but also pinball machines. We wandered over to the Pac-Man machine and thought it would make a great addition to our basement. Unfortunately, there was one thing that was wrong with it, the price, $600, way out of our price range. Other machines were equally as expensive. By this time, the owner wandered over and asked us what our price range was. We said, well, what do you have for about $200? So he took us over to a dark corner, brushed back some cobwebs, and showed us a game, a machine called Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja. And when we saw the graphics on that machine, two muscle-bound karate guys fighting ninjas on top of us, beating semi-truck, we knew that this was our game, sold. But how would we get such a game home when we had a car that could always fit in the compact parking only section? I will deliver it, the owner replied. Well, we started thinking, how much is that going to cost us? Because after we buy the game and taxes, we're not going to have any money left over. He said, I'll tell you what, since it's Good Friday today, I'll deliver it for free. So you might be thinking, so you got free delivery of a video game on Good Friday. What does that have to do with Good Friday? Well, it doesn't really have anything to do with Good Friday. It is simply a memory I have of a Good Friday many years ago. It reminds me that someone was nice to my brother on a day out of remembrance of a day. This person did something for me. It's great to have free delivery, but I started thinking, this person saved me some money, but what if armed robbers were all of a sudden when we were in the store to break in and say they're going to rob us and they're going to take our lives? But what if this owner said, hey, don't take their lives, take my life instead? Or if the situation was reversed, would I say, I'll take this person's life? I don't know this person. They seem okay, but what if they have a lot of skeletons in their closet? I value my life. Would I take this person's place? Today, Good Friday, is the day that we remember the crucifixion or death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus took my place on the cross. In fact, he took the place of everyone that has ever been born, past, present, and future. He died so that we do not have to die. Tonight, we'll remember the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for us and how he took our place. We will look at why we die, why Jesus had to die, what a substitutionary death means for us, and why death wasn't the end for him or for us. Now, death is something that we all have in common. It doesn't matter where we were born, how much money we have, or what our job title is. We are all going to die someday. But why do we die? Well, it all started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Actually, not far away at all. It started out in this very planet that we call Earth. God created the first humans, Adam and Eve, and they were created to have perfect fellowship in the garden that God created called Eden. Eve was tempted by Satan to eat of a tree that God told him not to eat of. Eve gave some of that fruit to Adam, her husband, and he ate as well. Adam sinned against God's command. Because of this sin, they could no longer enjoy perfect fellowship with God, and they were banished from the garden. They were separated from God. Because Adam was the first man, we are all ancestors of Adam. Just as you may have your father's eyes and your mother's ears, the rest of us belongs to Adam. We are born sinners. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Even if we were somehow to live a sinless life, we are still sinners because of our relationship to Adam. We are separated from God because of our relationship to Adam. While death is common to all human beings, we also have something else in common. Jesus Christ died for all people. Again, it doesn't matter our social status, wealth, or even how much, even if we're a lovable or unlovable person, Christ's death was for everyone. Let's go back once again to Genesis, where we can read about the very first prediction that Christ would die. After Satan tempted Adam and Eve and Adam's sin, God spoke to Adam and said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The seed of the woman was Jesus, and was foreshadowing that he would someday be born of the Virgin Mary as a man. The bruising of the heel would be done by Satan in the sense that Jesus would someday die on the cross and Satan would seemingly have victory over him. But the bruising of the head would be done by Christ in that his death would pay for the sins of mankind, thus Christ having the ultimate victory over Satan. In some translations of the Bible, it says that Jesus would crush Satan's head. If I had to choose which was more final between crushing of the head and bruising the heel, I would definitely say the crushing of the head. In this verse, what we really have is the first proclamation of the good news or the gospel about Jesus Christ in the Bible. But the question is, why did Jesus have to die? Wasn't there another way that people could get back into a right relationship with God? The answer is no, because God is holy and his standard is perfection. And if you believe that you can live a perfect life, then I've got some oceanfront property to sell you in Arizona. Besides, we already know that we come out of our mother's womb with sin pre-installed. Since we can't meet God's perfect standard, we need someone who can meet that perfect standard for us. We need someone who lived a sinless life. We need Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ became sin for us and died the death that we should have died. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. As we can see in these two verses, it speaks of Christ taking our place. He became sin on our behalf, and he suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Have you ever taken someone's place or had someone take your place? I was reminded of the movie The Hunger Games and a scene in which a young girl is chosen to be tribute. That means she was chosen to participate in games which children fought to the death. In potential, by going to these games, she was going to her death. As she solemnly walked up to the stage, her sister cried out, I volunteer as tribute. She volunteered to take her sister's place and potentially die herself. This is a powerful scene and is a picture of what Christ did to us. We too were going to our death and our eternal separation from God because of our sin. But Christ stepped in and said, I will take their place. Insert your name there. I will take Patrick's place. I will take Dan's place. Another biblical example of someone taking someone else's place, we can remember the story of Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. God promised Abraham that he would make a great nation of him, even though he had no children. God kept his promise to Abraham in his old age, and Isaac was born. Then God told Abraham to sacrifice this only son. So Abraham obeyed, and he took Isaac up to the mountain. And as he was about to plunge the knife into him, the angel of the Lord stepped in and said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you feared God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then the next verse says, Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. God provided this ram as a substitute sacrifice. This is a foreshadowing of Christ, and how he would be our substitute sacrifice as the spotless Lamb of God. For as John 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So what did Christ's substitutionary death mean for us? It means that he broke down the barrier that separated us from God because of our sin. It meant that he could now offer people something that we could never earn, something that we could never pay for. He could offer everyone the free gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You've probably heard the expression, "There is no such thing as a free lunch." And that's true, because someone had to pay for the lunch, even if the recipient themselves wasn't paying for it. The free gift of eternal life cost us nothing, but it cost Jesus his very life on the cross. And how do we receive this free gift? There's a very familiar verse, but a very powerful verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We believe in him for this gift, and we receive it. We've been talking a lot about the death of Jesus Christ, as today is Good Friday. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that death was not the end of him. So let's say I'd already seen the new Avengers movie, and you hadn't, and I knew what happened at the end, and I was about to say it. I would say, "Spoiler alert," at which point you would cover your ears, or leave the room, or slug me in the stomach so I wouldn't be able to speak. So, spoiler alert, Jesus did not stay dead. He is alive. Jesus rose from the dead, signifying that God was satisfied with his payment for sin. So in addition to being a spoiler, it is also a trailer for the message we are going to hear on Easter Sunday. So stay tuned and please come back. Same bat time, same bat channel, or actually 10:30 a.m. this Sunday at Grace Life Church. So back to the video game that this whole message started out with. We had fun with the game. Our friends were impressed that we had such a game. We charged them money to play it, and we played it ourselves for free. We eventually sold the game, and now it is gone. But even more than the game, for some reason, I will always remember that free Good Friday delivery. And going back to the scenario, would I die for this person who sold me the game? I would die for my wife or mom and dad or brother, people I have a relationship with. But I don't know this guy from Adam, although we have a lot in common with Adam. Maybe he isn't even that great of a guy. But think about the death that Christ died for the sins of the world. There was nothing that would commend ourselves to him. But Christ was dying for all the sins that were ever committed in the past, in the present, and in the future. Think of all the atrocities and evil that have ever been committed and will be continued to be committed throughout all of history. Christ died for all of those sins. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, or at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." Christ died for us while we were his enemies and while we were still sinners. That is a pretty sobering thought. All I can say is thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Thank you that I am now reconciled to you and have a righteous standing because of you and your death on the cross for me. Now that I have this righteousness, I can begin to understand verses like 1 John 3:16, which says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our life for the brethren." I hope the next time we see an opportunity to take someone's place or meet someone's need, we will remember Christ. We may not be asked to die for someone. It might be something like a parent taking another parent's place to stay up with a sick child, or paying the bill for someone in need, or if you are selling an arcade video game machine on Craigslist, offering to deliver it for free. Let's pray. God, thank you that we can look into your word now and thank you that you died for us at the right time. We know that was your plan through all of history from the beginning, that Christ would come and that he would die. And thank you that we were reconciled to you even while we were still sinners. And thank you that your death paid the penalty that we cannot pay for ourselves. That's a free gift, and that we can believe and that we can receive it. And then when we have this gift, you give us the ability to live our lives for you through your Holy Spirit. Pray that we might take these thoughts into the weekend and the year ahead and all the years that we have ahead. And we just pray now that as we go to our time of communion, that we might just remember you, remember that death on the cross, and be able to celebrate together. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So going into our time of communion here, I started thinking, have you ever watched a movie so many times that you can quote every part of it, or maybe it's a musical, you can sing every part of the songs, and you know exactly what's going to happen in every part of it? There's this movie called The Village, and there's this part where this monster runs under this watchtower, and I know what's going to happen, but I still get scared every single time. Or if you watch any of the Die Hard movies, you know John McClane's going to win at the end, but you still sometimes feel like the bad guys are going to get him. Or if you've ever seen the movie Field of Dreams, at the end, Kevin Costner's character gets to play catch with his dad, and my mom could just be, she can be in another room, walk in, see that scene, and immediately start crying. She knows exactly what's going to happen, but yet she's moved by those things. And that got me thinking, are we still moved by the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, even though we've heard the story so many times? I admit that I don't often reflect on this as much as I should. And sometimes I take it for granted. See, we have the luxury of having a complete Word of God. We can look back, we can see what happened, we know what the ending was. But what Jesus was meeting with his disciples in that upper room for the Last Supper as they were taking communion together, they still didn't fully grasp his death and resurrection. They were, you know, Jesus told them many times that he had to suffer and die, but it must have been just a very sorrowful time for them, and they didn't fully grasp this until after Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to them. So tonight we're going to celebrate the death of Christ for us, his body that was broken for us and his blood that was spilled out. And I hope that we can be moved to give thanks to him and look at the cross in a fresh way tonight and have these emotions well up inside of us. So I'd like to invite those that are going to help to please come up. Tonight we're going to partake of the bread and the cup, which are symbols of Christ's death. If you're a believer in Christ tonight, we invite you to partake with us. And if you're not a believer, just know that Christ's death was for you. He died and rose for your sins, and you can believe in him right where you are, and you can also receive this communion with us tonight and receive his gift of eternal life. So I'll pray for the bread. Thank you, God, for sending your Son to die for us. Christ, that you suffered, your body was broken for us, that it was spilled out, your blood was spilled out, so that we could have your righteousness. Bless this time and the partaking of the bread together. In Jesus' name, amen.